Investor Brand Network, IBN, a multifaceted communications organization engaged in connecting public companies to the investment community, is pleased to announce the launch of the Stock to Me podcast as part of its sustained audio communications effort to provide specialized content distribution via widespread syndication channels. The following Stock to Me podcast is an Investor Brand Network audio production and may feature a client partner of IBN. Investor Brand Network may have been compensated for the production of this podcast. Please be sure to read our entire disclaimer for full disclosure. Thank you, and here today is your host of the Stock to Me podcast.
Welcome back, everybody, and thanks so much for joining us again on for another online business briefing where we shine a spotlight on some of the freshest plays out there in the market today. Now, today, we're speaking to BeyondVax Pharmaceuticals Limited. The company's traded on the NASDAQ under the ticker symbol BVXV. Now, I want you to learn about the company as we interview the CEO of the company. Let me give you a couple of different resources. First, you can go to investorbrandnetwork.com. If you click on the clients tab there in alphabetical order, you will find BeyondVax Pharmaceuticals Limited. Also, the company's got a beautiful website, and that is BeyondVax.com. I went out earlier today and I went on YouTube to find more about the company, and they've got a beautiful video about the company that really explains who they are, their unique positioning, some of their competitive advantages as well. But we're going to hear all that today from the CEO, and that's Amir Reichman. And Amir, welcome to the show and thank you for making time for us.
Thank you very much for having me on your show, Stuart, and hello, everybody.
Well, listen, let's start off with the basic building blocks of who your company is and what markets do you operate in.
Right. So BeyondVax is a biotechnology company focused on research and development. It is located in Jerusalem, Israel. It was founded a while ago, about 17 years ago, by an entrepreneur who took a spin-off from the Weizmann Institute of Science in Israel with a mission to develop a universal influenza vaccine. The vaccine was then developed in the laboratory of Professor Ruth Arnon. Professor Ruth Arnon is a world-renowned professor and researcher, and mostly known for co-developing the Copaxone, the multiple sclerosis drug marketed by Teva Pharmaceuticals, the Israeli company. The universal influenza vaccine was then developed by BeyondVax throughout the next 15 years, covering everything from preclinical, phase one, multiple phase two, one of them even with NIH in the United States, and then ended up with a phase three that was a very big phase three, the biggest phase three conducted by an Israeli pharma company ever, 12,400 participants spanning over seven countries and about 105 hospitals and medical centers. In October 2020, the company published its results from this phase three pivotal trial, and unfortunately, the vaccine drug candidate showed that it did not meet its primary endpoint, basically did not show good protection against across seasons in influenza. And so at that point, the company went into a distress. At that point, I was called on board and joined BeyondVax as a CEO.
Outstanding. Well, the company's had a very interesting history, as you just pointed out. And also, you know, as we look back at the global pandemic, there was a lot of pivots and inflection points for companies. And it looks as though that may have been the case for your company. Let's talk, as we look back on the history of the company, a little bit about what happened for your company throughout 2021. And of course, we're wrapping up 2022. So let's talk a little bit about the history and milestones for the company, and then we'll learn about the management team.
Sure. So I just gave you a wrap up until 2020, when the company published its final results of the pivotal phase three. Early in 2021, I joined BeyondVax. I will tell you more about myself later in the interview, but I came from Belgium. I worked for for GlaxoSmithKline vaccines. I relocated back to Israel and took the helm as the CEO of BeyondVax. We then restructured the company with a new mission and a new vision, and raised capital In the NASDAQ, it was in February 2021 that we raised $12.8 million. And with these proceeds, we hired a consulting firm, LEK, which helped us to think through the next steps for the company, which products we should in-license, what kind of technologies we should bring in home, and how we should develop the company, the new BioNTvax. Now, a few things about BioNTvax. BioNTvax, as I mentioned, about all the massive experience it had with the universal influenza vaccine that it tried to develop and then the product did not succeed. During this time, it also built a state-of-the-art facility here in Jerusalem. It's an aseptic manufacturing facility that includes almost all the steps of the biological production, including upstream, downstream, formulation, fill and finish, including filling machines, everything in clean rooms, really top-notch facility with research and development labs, technical R&D labs, offices, so beautiful facility. What we didn't have at the time when I joined was the IP, because the previous IP that the company was founded around actually failed in clinical trials. And so with LEK, we thought through a different combination of opportunities, and we ended up contracting with the world-renowned Max Planck Institute in Göttingen. It's called the Max Planck Institute for Multidisciplinary Sciences, and also with the University Medical Center Göttingen. With these two institutes, we were able to cut three contracts. One is an exclusive, exclusive license for development and commercialization of a COVID-19 self-inhaled therapeutic. So that's an innovative one. I'll expand a little bit more later. The second contract was an accompanying research collaboration agreement through which the Max Planck Institute supported us because of the nature of the COVID, having all these variants of concerns. We had to make sure that when we go to the clinics, we have the best antibody that can target all the variants of concerns that are relevant for the clinics. The third contract was a five-year strategic research collaboration contract with these two institutes for the discovery and development of nanobodies for the treatment of additional diseases such as psoriatic arthritis, asthma, and macular degeneration. So after cutting these contracts, we went into the works. We raised additional round of capital, about a $9 million net. And with the amount that we had, we started to develop the first product in the line, which is the COVID inhaler. This is a very exciting a product that we are now developing here. And during the 2022 time frame, we were focusing on doing the tech transfer from Germany to Jerusalem, scaling up production, developing all the production processes, developing all the analytical methods that are required for quality assurance during GMP manufacturing, and of course for quality control release that will be needed for the product. In addition to that, we have conducted a proof of concept of the inhalation route of administration. It's a novel route of administration for applications of antibodies. And we conducted this trial together with the Fraunhofer Institute in Hanover, and also with a world-renowned veterinarian institute also located in Hanover. And we just reported yesterday exciting first readout of our inhalation proof of concept, showing that the animals that we treated with our inhaled drug, not only recovered faster from the COVID, but their disease course was way milder, extremely milder compared to the placebo arm. Both arms were infected with COVID. It's a challenge study. You infect an animal, a hamster, with COVID. And then one group you treat with our product, which is the inhaled product for COVID, and the other group is kept under placebo, just they just receive saline. And the differences were statistically significant to in a very nice way. And we are very hopeful now that we will be able to now progress to the next step, which will include in 2023 the preparation for toxicity studies and then conducting the first in-human clinical trial in 2023.
Outstanding. Those are some great goals. And we're going to revisit those at the end of the interview. Listeners, again, I encourage you to learn more about BioNVax and the website to do that at investorbrandnetwork.com. I followed along with everything Amir just gave me, looking at the profile at investorbrandnetwork.com, and also want you to check out those investment considerations. Well, Amir, let's learn more about yourself as the CEO of the company and any key members of the team you've surrounded yourself with. Go ahead, Amir.
Thank you, Stuart. So I think let's talk a little bit about myself. So I started my career as a young entrepreneur after graduating from biotechnology engineering degree. I started my dissertation work on transdermal delivery of drugs, specifically for the treatment of Parkinson's disease. And as a spin-off from the university where I studied together with my professor, at the time, Professor Eliyahu Heldman, we did we founded a small company called Neuroderm. This company still exists today and was supported by the Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson's Disease Research and by several world-renowned investors like Robert Taub, the former owner of Omrix Pharmaceuticals, etc. In 2017, the company was sold to Mitsubishi Tanabe Pharma in a full cash transaction of $1.1 billion. I left Neuroderm already in 2009, stayed a shareholder, but moved out to pursue an MBA because I received full scholarship to attend an MBA at the Wharton School of Penn University, and relocated to the United States in 2009 with my family. And after the MBA, I thought I was going back to Israel, but then I met exciting people from Novartis Vaccines and Diagnostics at that time, and I decided to do an internship in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and then took a full-time job with Novartis Vaccines and Diagnostics and became responsible for their portfolio of pediatric vaccines. I was head of value chain management for the pediatric vaccines, and then later on I became the global head of value chain management for the entire portfolio of vaccines of Novartis Vaccines. I resided for several years in North Carolina in the Triangle, working out of the Holly Springs site. And then in 2015, after the acquisition of Novartis Vaccines and Diagnostics by GSK, I was offered a job in Belgium as part of the global leadership team of GSK Vaccines. And I moved and relocated from North Carolina to Belgium. I worked in GSK Vaccines out of the Belgium headquarters for about 6 years, taking global roles in global engineering, global supply chain. And then in the end of 2020, I've decided to relocate back to Israel for family reasons. We felt that after almost 13 years abroad, it's time to go back to Israel. And at that point, it just crossed the opportunity with BioNVax just appeared approximately a few weeks after I resigned from GSK and gave the notice. I was approached by the board of directors of BioNVax and asking me whether I would join. And that's my story. I stayed a little bit in Belgium for a few months until the kids finished school, and then I relocated back to Israel. On the executive team here with me, I have Dr. Tamar Ben-Yedidia, who serves as the chief scientific officer. Dr. Tamar Ben-Yedidia was one of the founders of BioNVax and the one that developed the universal influenza vaccine that was spinned off from Roots Arnon lab. Our COO is Mr. Elad Mark. Elad, he's a bioengineer and also has an MBA. And he worked also, like me, in Novartis, but in the Asian side, he was working out of Novartis Singapore and also with several engineering companies in Israel, building manufacturing sites in China and in Israel. So I would like to mention a few key members of our board of directors. We also have a very accomplished board of directors. Tour. We have Mark Germain, who's serving as the chairman of the board of directors. He's a serial entrepreneur, was involved in founding almost 20 companies. Some of them are quite known, for example, Alexion, Neurocrine, etc. Samuel Moed is also a director on our board of directors, and he was former senior vice president of corporate strategy from Bristol Myers Squibb. Adi Raviv is serving as our audit committee chairman, and Mr. Jay Green was the former chief financial officer of GSK Vaccines Global and joined recently our board of directors.
Well, it's been a wonderful interview with you so far, Amir, and I'd like to wrap it up by revisiting some of the operational goals for the company in early 2023 and throughout the year 2023 so that the investors and, of course, our listeners that are new to your company understand truly the potential and what's on the horizon for your company. So, Amir, what are some of your operational goals for 2023?
Sure. So as I mentioned, we have been conducting the proof of concept in vivo in 2022. This proof of concept in vivo in the Fraunhofer Institute will continue into 2023 and will be wrapped up around February with results in March. During these first 2 months, we will still examine lower doses. So our aspiration is to use the lowest dose possible, both for cost perspectives and also for reduction of any potential adverse effects, etc. And we will also be testing our formulated drug for COVID as a prophylactic use. This is a very exciting opportunity because imagine you will have almost like an iron dome before, you know, for at-risk population that will know that if they need to board a flight, if there is a wave now of COVID, they can just take a puff from this inhaler and feel protected for at least half a day. And you take twice a day and you are completely protected for the period. In parallel, we will already run prepare the batches for the toxicity study, which we will do in the early months of the summer. And right after that, we will file for the IMPD, which is the filing for the first in human clinical trial that we will start in Q4 2023. In parallel to the COVID program, we aspire to start a second program. This second program will focus on our next nanoab, which is aimed for the treatment of psoriasis and other autoimmune skin diseases. We also have a third program that we will need to consider whether we can manage during 2023, but we are definitely having the science behind us for a program for nanoabs that will target the asthma as a main indication. So quite a lot of things to be achieving in 2023. Just to summarize, first in human clinical trial, proof of concept of first signs of efficacy, and also a proof of concept in animals for at least one of the autoimmune diseases. Probably it will be psoriasis. What I think that we didn't talk about is exactly what is the nanoab and what's behind this technology. Do you want maybe me to give some background on what it means, why it's so exciting?
Absolutely. Go ahead, Amir.
Okay, so the category that we go after is called nanoabs. They are also known as nanobodies. The biggest blockbusters today with biological drugs are known to be monoclonal antibodies. These are human antibodies that are cloned into cells that are then grown in bioreactors. It's a very effective drug category, but also very expensive to discover, to design, and to produce, and also to administer. It requires majorly injections. You need a physician to give it to receive it, etc. What we are focusing on is a category called nanoabs, and the nanoabs are alpaca-based antibodies, not human-based, but from camelid animals. You can do it with llamas and camels. In our case, we do it with alpacas. So the way we do it, we basically vaccinate the alpaca for the disease target that that we want to aim for, and the alpaca generates the antibodies. We then take the genetic code from the alpaca and we clone this genetic code into yeast cells. And in the very similar, if you can think about fermenters that, you know, just for the layman, a fermenter that generates beer, it looks like that. It's a beer, big fermenter, but instead of generating alcohol, it generates antibodies. And then we filter out these antibodies that we taught these yeast cells to produce. And this is essentially the drug. So why is it so special? We call these drugs a biobetter drug, because these drugs show superior specific characteristics over the monoclonal antibodies if they are applied correctly to the right indications. What do I mean? So our nanobodies, for example, they have hyperthermostability. Very long word, sounds very complex. But what it means is that we can basically boil our drug, which is a biological drug, at 200 Fahrenheit for, let's say, 10 minutes, and it will retain full biological activity. Why am I so excited about that? Because what it means is that potentially much longer shelf life for the drug, which means a lot about the economics, much easier storage and distribution, and we might be even able to reduce some of the requirements or alleviate the requirements for cold chain that are making the distribution and administration of biological drugs so complex. In addition to that, these molecules are very strong. And if they are very strong, it means that you can apply them through, for example, an inhaler without destroying their molecular structure and activity. And in our case, as you could see, we developed this nanoabs, this small alpaca-based antibody, as an inhaled formulation. And why is that important? Because inhalation allows you to administer the drug to yourself. So one can self-administer the drug rather than need to go to a doctor to get it injected either intravenous or subcutaneous. Here, self-inhalation. The second thing is when you self-inhale, you bring it directly to the affected organ, to the lungs, instead of injecting a drug to the blood and then having the blood circulate the drug throughout all your body, and eventually it will arrive to the blood, to the lungs. A fraction of it will arrive there and will cure the disease. In our case, we bring the whole drug directly to the affected lungs, to affected organ. It reduces significantly the potential for side effects because you don't need to expose the whole body to the drug. And it reduces the amount of drug one needs to use in order to be efficacious. It's much easier and lower cost for production. We don't need expensive mammalian bioreactors. We use simple fermenters. And the development is much faster and more accelerated. I'll just give you one example. When one wants to develop an antibody for a specific target, one needs to develop a library of antibodies and then to choose the best antibody out of the library. Best scientific laboratories can generate 1,000, 3,000 options in each library, and each library takes several weeks to generate. In our case, each library will contain about 300 million options. So it means that the probability that we will find the best antibody within one or two rounds is much higher compared to the conventional monoclonal antibodies, which makes our cycle for development of drugs, specifically when you talk about infectious diseases and things like that, much faster and cheaper. And so there are additional attributes. For example, the affinity to the target is way higher than the one presented by the monoclonal antibodies. For example, if we compare the affinity to the target of the our drug for the COVID-19 receptor binding domain, which is the target, our affinity is about 100 times stronger than the currently available monoclonal antibodies in the market. It translates itself to either higher efficacy or potentially very low dosage that we will need to use. The last thing I want to mention is that as a platform, this provides us the ability to spin out many different drugs using the same platform of manufacturing processes, manufacturing equipment, analytical methods, analytical equipment, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the basis behind our contract with Max Planck, because we will have now the first pipeline drug, the anti-COVID, but the second one will be actually anti-psoriasis. It will be injectable, probably. And the next one will be for asthma, and then we have macular degeneration, etc. But the capital expenditure investments that we will need to make in our manufacturing capabilities and labs, etc., is very minimal, if any, because we can reuse the same equipment for any of these indications. Despite being so different, it's the same platform. And the last thing, the way we de-risked our strategy was in the following way. We went into areas of diseases where the molecular target of the drug is already known. So when you have the molecular target known, and when you have the mechanism of action basically being an antibody known, the probability of clinical failure is way reduced, significantly reduced, and the commercial opportunity comes from the significant differentiating attributes that I just described, like the convenience of use, adverse effects, efficacy, novel routes of administration, production costs, etc., etc. So you can tick in all of these commercial advantages, but you take very low risks on identifying novel molecular targets, developing novel mechanisms of action, etc. So this category is called in the jargon biobetter. So these next years of BioNVax will be focused on biobetter category drugs that will enable us to capture a very nice and significant market share with better than current drugs, but with much lower chances of failure on the preclinical and the development pathways.
This has been an unbelievably informative call with you, Amir. I really want to thank you again for your time, your insight, and your candor regarding your exciting young company. We expect great things from you and BioNVax Pharmaceuticals here in 2022 and well beyond. Thanks for your time today, Amir.
Appreciate you having me on the call. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening, and appreciate it. Thanks.
Absolutely. BioNVax Pharmaceuticals Limited, again, traded on the NASDAQ under the ticker symbol BVXV for Amir Reichman. This is Stuart Smith saying thanks so much for listening.
The following Stock to Me podcast was an Investor Brand Network audio production. IBN is a financial news and publishing company delivering a new generation of corporate communication solutions, including news aggregation and syndication, social communication, and enhanced news release services. Investor Brand Network may receive payments for corporate communications relations, as well as various press releases and social media solutions provided to its clients. IBN holds no shares of any company named on the IBN sites, brands, and/or podcasts. To be clear, all officers, directors, and independent contractors of Investor Brand Network hold zero positions in and do not trade or intend to trade the securities for their own accounts. This interview is not an offer or recommendation to buy or sell securities. Information in this broadcast is presented solely for informative purposes and is not intended to be, or should it be construed as, investment advice. As in all investments, investment in the featured company carries an investment risk. Listeners should review the company thoroughly with the registered investment advisor or registered stockbroker. This podcast audio interview by Investor Brand Network is not intended to be a complete study of the featured company or other companies mentioned. Information used and statements of fact have been obtained from featured company and other sources, but not verified nor guaranteed by Investor Brand Network as to completeness and accuracy. Such information is subject to change without notice. Please see our full disclaimers and disclosures at investorbrandnetwork.com.